This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So today, our readings, the main theme here is the call, right? And so I started to think about this, the call, and I had to do some reflecting. So I'm about to tell a little bit about my age, but I also belong to a generation that sort of lives in a gap. They don't know what to call us. I was born in 78, which means I remember before the digital age, but I also came into adulthood in the digital age. So we kind of like live in this in-between time. But I do remember, and maybe you do too, when the phone was connected to a wall, right? The phone was on the wall. And then they added like the 75-foot phone cord so that you could take the phone and walk around the house with it. And a long time ago, there may have been like a little table next to the one phone in the house, maybe a chair, so you could sit down for those conversations, and a little notepad to take messages. And then after a while, you might get more than one phone in the house. And even in adolescence, this was always the joy, to get a separate line for other members of the phone in the house, especially if you had an older sister like I did who liked to take long conversations. And then answering machines came along. So it was less of a big deal then if you missed a phone call because someone could leave a message. And then, of course, with the idea that someone could leave a message came the practice of screening phone calls. Wait, just let the machine get it. Then we found power battery operated phones. Right, so it was real nice because it had a little home and you could charge it there. And some of you may still have one, actually. I know my parents do. And a little phone, it sits in a little stand, but it didn't have a cord. Now, early on, there was like this long antenna that you had to pull out. And then as technology got better, the antenna got smaller and smaller. But the cool thing was, is you could take this phone anywhere with you, in the house, in the yard. Of course, that also meant it just got lost, like the TV remote. And then there was the advent of caller ID. And that screening habit, right, became even easier to do. You see the number pop up on the caller ID, oh Lord, I don't have time for that. Straight to voice message or the message machine. Or you didn't recognize the number and you're like, I don't know who that is, I'm not answering the phone. All of this before each of us now own a pocket size phone, one that we can take anywhere. We have our individual number, we have our individual line. We no longer have to be present to actually receive a phone call. You no longer have to schedule that, you know, Sunday afternoon phone call with mom. And no longer is it a worry if you miss the phone call like it was back in the day. If you missed it, you missed it. And you didn't even know you missed it until a month later when you were visiting family and they said, well, I tried to call you and you weren't home. No, we carry around a pocket-sized phone with us everywhere we go. Maybe you remember when you were younger a game that was called telephone. Right, so the idea with telephone is you sit in a circle close enough to each other so you can whisper, right, into the other person's ear. So you can lean over and whisper to the person next to you. And then the leader or whoever started the game would come up with a sentence or a phrase, ideally something fairly simple to remember, and they would whisper it into the first person's ear, and then that person would try to repeat the same sentence or phrase to the person next to them, and then so on and so on and so on around the circle. And of course, it never failed. Now, it didn't matter if there were 3 people in that circle or 10 people in that circle, but by the time it got to the end, The beginning phrase was convoluted into something totally different. And now we have a voice message system in our pocket-sized phones that actually dictates what the message is. Now, it doesn't always get it right. But the idea of not being able to continue that method of communication clearly has gotten easier and easier to get the messages, to hear the call, to receive the call, to know what the call was about. Now, things have changed quite a lot just in that one area of how we communicate with one another, and yet misunderstanding still seems to find its way. I was laughing the other day when I was at the Children's Center because I was thinking about flashcards. You know, when we grew up, flashcards were like a picture of a telephone. Well, they don't have any idea what that is. Right? We're teaching them phone. You show them a picture of an old-fashioned phone, they're like, I don't know. The present form of this world is passing away, Paul writes today. The present form of this world is passing away. Our scripture readings today, again, are about answering a call. And we encounter Jonah, and you may remember this as a child. One of the first stories we learn as children in the church is the story of Jonah and the whale. You all remember that story? We get the end of it today. We get the part where he was called again. But what we don't get is the part where Jonah kept saying, I don't think so, God. I do not want to go there. Right? Jonah is one of the minor prophets in the Hebrew and the Jewish tradition. You can find him in the Old Testament. And it's a story, it's one of the few stories that we have in Holy Scripture that's actually about a prophet. The other prophets that we read about are really about their ministry and what they did. But this story of Jonah is about Jonah specifically. And it's quite bizarre, actually. So here we have Jonah, and God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I don't think so. I don't really like those people. I really have nothing to tell them. And so God calls him again and says, Jonah, no, really, I need you to go to Nineveh and minister to these people and tell them about me, about God. I need you to go and tell them. And so Jonah's on a boat. Like, he's resisting this so much, he's on a boat, and a storm comes, and he throws himself off the boat to drown. That's how Jonah ended up in the water. He so badly did not want to answer God's call to go to Nineveh that he threw himself off the ship into the water, thinking that he would drown. And of course, God, in all of his wisdom, sent, as we understand it, a big fish to hold Jonah so Jonah wouldn't drown. Now, when we encounter Jonah today, and God again is saying, you know, I need you to go to Nineveh. What we also didn't hear is that how Jonah got there to the beach was the fish spit him out. So not only did Jonah not want to go, not only did Jonah try to get out of it in every way possible, God took him and spit him out where he needed him to go. And so there Jonah is on the beach, and I suppose probably smelled pretty bad. And God says, I need you to go to Nineveh. And in one sentence is all we hear of his ministry with the people of Nineveh. 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, and poof, an entire community is converted. Man, I wish it were that easy. See, the present form of this world today is passing away. And then we meet Andrew and Simon and James and John. Quite a different response to this call that they receive from Jesus than Jonah, because what we hear is the word, and I love it, immediately. No questions asked, they are called, and immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. And James and John, you know, in their day, to be a fisherman was a very popular but not well-paying vocation. And we hear that it was a family. It was a family thing with the Zebedee, right? It was a family business. So I imagine for a minute, James and John probably looked at Dad. It's like, hey, you know. But they immediately left. So what does it mean to answer this call? I've been doing chapel time with the Children's Center. Now, you guys, they are little, right? We have infants. The oldest kid is not even 3 yet. And so what we do is I would go into the classroom, and we'd have chapel time, and we'd do it on Wednesday mornings. And I would bring a little kid's Bible. I would come in. We'd play a familiar song, let them know, and they would sit around in a little circle and be ready for the story. Now I bring the older ones in here. So we take a little walk across the parking lot. You know, that's a field trip when you're 2 years old. We come and we sit. Well, we missed 2 weeks for various reasons. We missed 2 weeks. One week, I think I had a meeting that ran later, something in the morning I needed to take care of. And then we had the cold weather day because Floridians don't know how to do cold weather, so they closed school, and so we were closed last Wednesday. And so last week I was down there and I was just saying hello to the kids. I really enjoy them. And this one little girl came up to me. She's 2 years old, and she said, "When are we going to do chapel? Do you have your book?" And then she and a couple of the other kids who have been doing this pretty regularly with me, because there's a lot of new kids too, they sat down in their little circle. They're ready. And I said, "Well, I don't have my book today, but yes, we will do chapel again. I will see you. We'll do chapel next week." And she goes, "Because you know, Jesus is very important." Shaming the priest. But you see, it doesn't matter how much we fight it or screen the calls, as I like to say, or hit it directly to voicemail or forget to make the call back. God is going to continue and continue and continue to call us no matter how much we resist. And as Christians, once we meet Jesus as a Christian, then we are called to tell others. Just like the little 2-year-old girl, Jesus is very important. You are supposed to be telling us about him. And my friends, that is your call too. And no matter how much we resist it and resist it and resist it, God has continued to find ways for us to proclaim the good news of God and Jesus Christ to other people. We cannot avoid it once we say yes to Jesus. Some of us may be trying to throw ourselves off a ship to avoid having to talk about Jesus with someone else. But God will continue to pursue us and to call us and to call us, and not only as individuals in each of your lives, but also as the church. How is God calling us as the church to witness to the good news of God and Jesus Christ to our friends, to our neighbors, to our community? Because Jesus is very important. And my friends, the present form of this world is continuing to pass away. And so how we continue to tell the story of Jesus Christ will continue to change and to grow, just as our technology has changed and the way that we communicate with one another. It will continue to change and to grow, and we are called to change and to grow with it. The present form of this world will continue to pass away, but God's message continues to be the same. So then the question becomes, when you're told by a toddler, "When are you going to do chapel again?" The question becomes, when you are called by God to invite someone into this relationship with Jesus Christ, will you say yes? Will you say yes? Amen.